Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The story is told of a famous astronomer from France who concluded a lecture by saying, "I have swept the universe with my telescope, and I find no God." To which a musician responded, "That statement is as ridiculous as for me to say I have taken apart this violin, I have examined it, each piece with a microscope, and I find no music." It seems like our world is made up of two types of people. Those who would dictate to God how he must reveal himself, and those who accept and marvel in the many ways God does reveal himself to those who will simply open their eyes to see. But at times, we probably wonder in which group we belong. We confess and believe in God, but we can still sympathize with those who find themselves wondering and questioning where and who God really is. A couple of weeks ago, we heard how Jesus' disciples were also doubting. They wondered about God's ability and willingness to assist them as they were tossed about on a stormy sea. We identify with them because at times we too are filled with fear, doubts, and concerns that come from living in a world that's broken by sin and where God can seem so far away. Now, that isn't to say that God has not and does not continue to speak of his presence. One look at the creation should be enough to convince us that God exists. An article in the Lutheran Witness some years ago entitled "The Green Witness" told of a scientist who was experimenting with solar collectors. He wanted to use the most efficient color to absorb the sun's heat in a liquid and also maintain a low temperature on the surface. And what he discovered after hundreds of tests was that a particularly vivid shade of green met the test. And as he was reading the results of his tests, the article said his attention was drawn to his laboratory window. And as he peered out, suddenly the palm of his hand found its way to his forehead, where it landed with a slap, because there in the great outdoors of verdant Florida was confirmation of the tests he was pondering. Outside that window were living organisms which had been designed for the specific purpose of collecting solar energy. The color which God gave to the chlorophyll was the best choice for their purpose. God does reveal himself and give witness to his presence in the world all around us. And this should be plain for all to see, but God wants us to know more than that he simply exists. He wants us to know him in a personal way. He wants us to be able to entrust ourselves to him, to live for him, and to tell of him to those who don't know him. And that's why he revealed himself to Moses and the people of Israel the way he did. That's why he revealed himself to Moses and the people of Israel the way he did in our Old Testament lesson. The event that Moses referred to is a familiar one. God had revealed himself to Moses at that burning bush, but Moses was concerned that the people wouldn't believe he was God's spokesman. So God gave him the ability to perform certain signs to show that God was with him. And then Moses and his brother Aaron went to Egypt, where the children of Israel had lived for some 400 years. In the story of Joseph, we read how God brought him and his father Jacob and his 11 brothers and their families to Egypt during a time of famine. He brought them there so that they would grow from one family into a nation of many people, so that when the time came, they would return to occupy the land that God had promised to give to Abraham and to them, his descendants. Now, certainly, certainly they would have passed the message of God's covenant from generation to generation. But the Bible is silent regarding the strength of their faith when Moses comes on the scene. I think we can easily picture a people much like us, people who have been taught the truths of the faith, people who confessed and believed in the God of promise, just as we do. But we can also easily picture a people whose love for God might have grown somewhat distant, maybe even cold after 400 years. Now, when Moses came and showed them the signs from God, the leaders of the people of Israel were convinced that he spoke for the Lord. But after Moses' first encounter with Pharaoh, their faith in Moses began to waver. It was fine when they thought that they had a prophet who was going to come and fix everything for them. But when Pharaoh didn't respond the way they expected, and in fact made life even more difficult for them, they began to question Moses' ability to help. Then Moses came to God and said, in essence, "Lord, what's going on here? Ever since I went before Pharaoh, things have gone from bad to worse. Not only is Pharaoh mad at me, but so are your people. You certainly haven't done a very good job of delivering them." And that's when God speaks the words that we heard and read earlier. "I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them." He tells Moses that he knew these things were going to happen and that through these circumstances, he would reveal himself in a new way, both to Pharaoh and to his own people. He would reveal himself in such a way that they would come to know just what the name the Lord really means. He was about to reveal himself in a way their forefathers could never have imagined. And that's just what he did. He spoke to Pharaoh, to Moses, and to the Israelites through plagues. At one point, God told Moses to say to Pharaoh, "By now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." And God powerfully showed himself to Pharaoh by delivering his people. He demonstrated what kind of a God he really is. Our God is a God of protection. He told Moses that he heard the groaning of the Israelites and that he had not forgotten the covenant he made with their forefathers. He protected them from the Egyptians by sending various plagues to convince Pharaoh that he was the Lord, the true and only God. Those plagues affected the whole land of Egypt. But through all the plagues, the children of Israel were unaffected so long as they stayed in the land of Goshen. But any Israelite who remained in the Egyptian lands was affected by the plagues. The message was clear: stay out of Egypt. God protected his people unless they knowingly placed themselves in harm's way. And isn't that often the way it is for us? God has given us his word. He has revealed his will to us. He promises that as we follow his will, we will be protected from certain things. But if we don't stay out of Egypt, out of those places and away from the things he warns us about, we will be adversely affected. If we pursue a lifestyle that's not in the Lord's will, if we expose ourselves to things that we know aren't good for us, we will certainly be affected by them. Our God is a God of protection. But unfortunately, He doesn't promise to protect us from ourselves when we willfully choose to follow a dangerous course. So thank God, our God has also revealed himself as a God of redemption. In our gospel lesson this morning, we heard Jesus ask his disciples who they thought he was. And Simon Peter declared what they had all come to believe. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They recognized that the one who stood before them was the same one who had spoken to their forefathers, the one who was able to make any bad situation right. He was the long foretold and waited for Messiah. That's what God was for the Israelites. A God who could make a bad situation right again. Yes, he freed them from their physical slavery, but even more than that, he gave them the gift of himself. He said it in our text. He said, I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And that's exactly what God has done for us in Christ. He looked down upon all of us who haven't listened to him, people who have made poor choices, people who have wandered in our own private Egypts, and said, I love you still. And he demonstrated how far his love goes by dying for us. That death was the greatest act of redemption the world has seen, for by it he brought life from death. Not only life for Jesus who died and rose again, but life for all of us who now look to him in faith. That's the message that God wants and everyone else to know. And what a privilege we have here at Grace to share that truth, the truth that God loves us unconditionally for the sake of Christ. Last week we started a new year of Sunday school classes for the children of our congregation. In the first week of September, children from our community are going to come to our preschool where they'll have the opportunity to hear and experience Jesus' love and compassion through the teachers and from others in our congregation that they will meet this school year, our partners. And every week we gather as the people of God, we gather here to be built up in the faith as he comes and gives us everything we need to be strong in the faith. We hear again and again that he is still the God who walks with us, who forgives us, the God who will never leave us. Our God wants us to know him. And yes, he reveals himself in the creation around us. But even more, he reveals himself through his word and through his son, Jesus Christ. He reveals himself to be a God of protection, redemption, and salvation. Now he calls us to tell others so that they too may know the joy of his love and the freedom and the hope of his promises. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting.